turn to five people, give them a high five. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I'm in this place, like when was the conference? Like a week and a half ago? I'm in this place where, like, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize how much I love him and how much I need him. It just blows my mind how awesome and how great and how mighty and just how good he is to us. And like, my prayer is like you guys would experience that as well. It is so life transforming. You cannot experience God. You cannot experience all of his goodness, all of his love, all of his mercy, and not love him back. It is the only appropriate response that when God gives you everything, you're like, God, I want to give you all of me. I want to give you all of me. I'm experiencing God in ways that I've only heard of but never felt. The closer I get to God, the more, and listen, I don't know what you guys believe, but the closer I get to Jesus, the more I feel him physically, tangibly. A few nights ago, I was talking to a friend, and I shared with this person this something that I had written on piano. It was an instrumental, and actually, that story is crazy in itself, because a couple of months ago, I got home and I had a bad day. I can't remember what it was about, but I just remember I got home and I was just really sad. So I jumped on the piano and I just started playing, and this tune came out. And in the middle of me playing this tune, I just felt the presence of God just fall on me, and I just felt God. And I felt his goodness, and I felt his love, and all of a sudden, my day didn't matter anymore. The only thing that mattered is that moment with him. That one moment, that sweet, sweet moment with my Father. And the only appropriate response in that point was I just got on my face, and I just started, I didn't say anything. And listen, God didn't say anything either. I just felt him. Because no words had to be said. He was just there. And everything was great. You guys ever have friends where, like, you're having a bad day, but the moment you see them, you get happy. A smile gets put on your face, and all of a sudden, you just feel better. And I had that experience. It was such an amazing experience. It was so amazing. And God is so good. And so I was telling my friend this. I'm like, hey, this came out of this place where I was just sad, and it was just so amazing because it doesn't matter what went through my mind that day. Doesn't matter how bad I might have messed up. I really don't remember what happened that day, but it doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how you feel on the inside. God is always good to us, and he always loves us. And I was sending this all through a text message, and I was just laying down on the couch, face up. And listen, I'm not trying to be dramatic, okay? I'm not. I'm just telling you what happened. And so I'm laying on this couch, and I remember, like, I felt like. Something I never felt before. It was very subtle, but I was on the couch, and I remember, like, my phone just fell, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, God is in the room right now. And I actually kind of laughed because I was like, God, like, what's going on? And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, I'm sitting on you. I'm sitting on you. I was like, what? Like, I'm sitting on you. I don't know what that means, but I loved it. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, when you glorify God, when you give him the glory and you testify of his goodness, he shows up. He shows up. And I was testifying to my friend of his goodness, that no matter what I am or what I've done or what state I am in, his goodness and his love is so good. And when you testify of that, when you love him back, he shows up. And I had, like, for a few minutes, I was just sitting there going like, oh, this is so cool. God, you're right here. You're right here. Jesus. My whole life is just upside down right now because it's I was telling someone earlier, it's like I'm trying to keep up with God. I'm trying to keep up with God. He's doing all these things in my life, and I'm just like, God, like, you're so good. And listen, and all of it has nothing to do with me and everything to do with just his goodness and his love for me. Things that, I'll tell you, like, a lot of you guys know this, but six years ago, we were at a youth camp, and it was before I became an intern, it's before, like, I really got into ministry. And I went up for this altar call, and Jabin Chavez said, he's like, hey, if you think you're called to full-time ministry, come up here and I'll pray for you. And so you guys know the story. He was praying over people, prophesying over people. And when he came up to me, he just grabbed my hand and he was like, walk with me, Abraham. And I was like, what does that mean? And it's just so crazy because things that God spoke 6 years ago are so fresh and so new right now. It's his words have so much weight, and they're like eternal. There's so much behind it that I'm still figuring out what walk with me, Abraham, means this day, today, well, last night, but these days. See, God, I'd always thought, okay, because you guys know in my testimony, I was having issues with my parents because they didn't want me to be an intern. And so I always looked at, and if you guys have your notes out, write down Genesis chapter 12 through 18. You guys can read it at home. And listen, God, go home, pray, and then read that section, and God will blow your mind. He will. I've read the story so many times, and it still, like, ministers to me. God still speaks to me through it. God calls Abraham out of his home, and he doesn't tell him where he's going. You just get out of your home. He actually lived in a very pagan home. They're worshiping false gods. So he says, get out of your home. Just get out of your home. I'll show you the land, but first just leave. So Abraham leaves. And so I always looked at the story of Abraham as one of, okay, I'm leaving my home and I'm going to go do what God wants me to do. I'm going to leave my home and I'm going to fulfill my calling. I'm going to fulfill my destiny. I've always seen it that way. But when I was actually reading something in the New Testament that referenced to an inheritance that you got through Abraham. We probably won't have time to talk about that, but this inheritance that you got through that you get through Abraham, and I just totally lost my train of thought. Jesus, everyone say Jesus. Come on, say his name again. Jesus. So I always thought that it was, come out of your home because you're going to do what I want you to do. Come out of your home because you're going to fulfill your destiny. You're going to fulfill your calling. And it wasn't that. When I read it again, I realized, oh my gosh, God called Abraham out of his home because God wanted to be intimate with him. He called him out of there for intimacy. He called him out there for intimacy. Because he wanted Abraham to know God personally. And you can see it. Abraham is traveling and he's building these altars. He builds these altars, and then Abraham goes and he lies to a king. He gets in trouble. He goes back to that altar. It wasn't a journey to a place. His Abraham's destination from being called out of his home wasn't in the natural. It wasn't the supernatural. Abraham's destination was intimacy with God, his father. And God appears to Abraham one day. And they talked, just like Moses talked face to face with God, Abraham talked with him. It literally says, like Abraham would approach God and ask him questions. So amazing. God calls Abraham out of his house for intimacy, to get to know his father. In a similar way, if you guys remember the story of Moses delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, God saves them from Egypt because he wants intimacy with him. He wants intimacy with them. The same mountaintop experiences that Moses was having with God, God wanted to have with every single one of those people. And they said no, they rejected him. Anyways, God appears to Abraham one day, and he says, I am your exceedingly great reward. Listen, guys, your calling is not your reward. Your destiny is not your reward. He is your reward. God the Father, he is your reward. He's your reward. And when you spend time being intimate with him, listen to me. By the way, Lorenzo just had a baby. let's make sure we stay mature here, but Lorenzo had to be intimate with his wife to have a baby. All right? Abraham had to be intimate with God for the blessings to flow out. Those blessings flow out of that intimacy that he had with God. Abraham walked with God for a while before the issue of Isaac came up. You guys hearing me? And it's in that intimacy, guys, where the blessings flow. It's from that intimacy. Everyone say intimacy. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, when you pray, everyone say pray. He says, when you pray, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And God will reward you openly. He says, when you pray to your Father, go into the secret place and shut the door and have intimacy with God your Father. It's interesting because a section after that, it talks about fasting. Now, it might seem like a side point, but it'll make sense right now. Jesus said this. He said, when you fast, don't look all sad. Don't let your countenance fall. But when you fast, only fast in the sight of God. Only let God know that you're fasting. And then he reiterates, you're fasting for God who is in the secret place. Everyone say secret place. Secret place. The secret place. If you guys remember the story of Jesus when he goes up to the mount and he transfigures and then all this amazing stuff happens up there. And when he gets down, there's this boy who was an epileptic and he was actually demon-possessed. And this demon would throw him into the fire and throw him into the water. And this demon was literally trying to kill this kid. This man brings his son, who's the epileptic, to the disciples, and disciples cannot cast him out. They can't cast him out. And so they asked, and so finally Jesus comes down from the mountain, and the man says, Jesus, can you do this? Because your disciples couldn't do it. Jesus, he heals them. He sets him free. The disciples ask, Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, some things don't happen but by prayer and fasting. Everyone say prayer and fasting. Listen, guys, whatever you guys are battling, if you're not feeling the victory or seeing the victory, you need to go back to your secret place. You need to get in your secret place. Because some things don't go out but by prayer and fasting. And according to Matthew chapter 6, that prayer and that fasting needs to be done in the secret place in intimacy with God. And he will reward you openly. Here's the amazing thing. God rewards you with himself. I was at the bank on Monday. And I went and I deposited a check, and there's a guy, he comes up to the ATM next to me, and he's limping. And it's just me and him. And I know what the Holy Spirit's telling me, to pray for him. And listen, I used to try to make up all these excuses of, no, it's okay, that's not really the Holy Spirit. But I was like, I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And we get done at the exact same time, which means we're walking at the exact same time, the exact same pace, and he's limping. And just like Chanel's testimony, this is all in Spanish. And so I go up to him, and I said, sir, is your back hurting? He said, no, it's my foot. I said, can I pray for you? Jesus, I believe that Jesus Christ can heal you. He's like, yeah. He's like, well, I think I believe that too. I was like, well, let me pray for you. I'm going to put my hand on your foot, and I'm going to pray for you, okay? He said, okay. So I kneel down. People are walking by. Doesn't matter. Because all that matters right now to God is that person right there. Amen. So I kneel down, I put my hand on his foot, and I pray for him. I pray for his foot, I pray for healing. And then he's like, okay, thank you. He's about to walk away. I was like, wait. How does it feel? And he's like, it's feeling a little bit better. I'm like, let me pray again. I get down on my knees, I pray for his foot. And then I pray for his foot. I'm like, okay, feel it now. How does it feel? He's like, well, it doesn't hurt anymore. And I'm like, sir, you have a God in heaven who loves you. You have a God in heaven who loves you. And then he's like, cool, thank you. And he starts walking away. I'm like, okay. I got in my car and I was like, and I just started screaming, not screaming, I started yelling, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You have intimacy in the secret place, and he rewards you openly with those blessings. You guys want to hear something crazy? Here's something crazy. So back to Abraham. So God comes to Abraham. He's like, hey, you're going to have a son named Isaac. All right? And Abraham's like, okay, cool. But then they get impatient. He gets impatient. Him and his wife, they get impatient. And so instead of waiting for the promise through intimacy with God, him and his wife, they end up trying to make their own plan. And so Abraham is actually intimate with one of his servants named Hagar. Here's interesting thing. A few years go by, and then God comes back to Abraham. He's like, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And this is what's happened. And then Abraham was like, but we have on the name Ishmael. We have Ishmael, though. What do you mean? We made it happen. And God's like, no, that's not the one I had for you. That's not the one I had for you. Here's the crazy thing. Abraham had to be separated from his firstborn son because of his disobedience. And here's the even crazier thing, okay? Fast forward to like now. The religion of Islam attributes Ishmael as one of their fathers. That's one of like their main prophets. The nation of Islam, the one that's been fighting with Israel for like centuries. Isn't that crazy? And it all started with Abraham's disobedience. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. How am I going to tell you? Okay, I'll say it this way. I think it's Galatians 4. In Galatians 4. Isaac, you're doing such a great job. Thank you. In Galatians 4, actually, hold on. Let me turn to it real quick. Are you guys getting something out of this? Yeah. I know this is different, but this is the only thing that makes sense to me right now, to be honest. And I've never done this before. Actually, I might not go to that. Maybe a little bit. When God first meets Abraham, his name is actually Abram. Everyone say Abram. And so not only does God call us out of, New Testament calls it, he's called us out of darkness into the light. In other words, he's making us born again so that we are now spirit. We're now a spirit connected to him. God calls Abraham out of his house not only to have intimacy with him, but also because he wants to show Abraham, or Abram, which is his name before, he wants to show him who his true identity is. The fact that he doesn't get his identity from his home. He doesn't get his identity by what he accomplished. But he's going to learn who he is by being intimate with the one who created him. No one in this room was an accident. No one. God is the giver of life. And if you have life, it's because he gave it to you. But not only that, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that he foreknew you. He predestined you before the foundations of the world. If you're here on this earth, it's because God willed it for you to be on this earth. It doesn't matter what happened with your parents. It doesn't matter if your dad rejected you, your mom rejected you. Doesn't matter what's been said about you. It doesn't matter what were the circumstances of your mom getting pregnant. It doesn't matter. God willed for you to be here. You were predestined. God already knew you before the foundations of the world. And so God brings Abram out. And when God starts to reveal Abraham's destiny, which he was going to be a father of many nations, and all the nations that came from Abraham were going to be blessed, and kings were going to come out, and eventually Jesus comes out from the lineage of Abraham, someone who for 99 years did not have a kid. Oh, he had Ishmael, but that wasn't God's will. He shows him his identity. Listen, guys, you guys are going to find your true identity in Christ. In the New Testament, you see Paul always, he's always saying things like, hey, you're going to have this in Christ. You're going to do that in Christ. May you be blessed in Christ, in Christ. Everyone say in Christ. That phrase in Christ calls for intimacy. It calls for intimacy. Jesus' prayer for us in John 17 is, Father, I desire that they know who you are just like I know who you are. That just how you love me, that you love them. That just as I am one with the Father, that they may be one with the Father. That was Jesus' prayer for all of us, is for us to be united, one with God, your Father. Your Father. Everyone say, my Father. And it is in your Father that you're going to find your destiny. It is in your Father that you're going to find out your calling. When I graduated high school, I had all these ideas of what I wanted to do. I had all of these different things that I wanted to do. And I met Jesus, and like looking back at it, I think it's so funny, because it's like God was like, wow, you like all those things. Cool. Here, let me show you something that you're really going to enjoy. Let me show you something that you're really destined to do. Let me show you something that's really going to satisfy you, that used to make you, wow. Through that intimacy with God, your Father, the one who, listen, he created you for a purpose. And it's amazing that we get to find that purpose in him by spending time with him. Is that making sense? Isaac, you're still doing great. Thank you. Jesus, 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 we praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Let's stand back up on our feet. We're going to do it again. 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 Jesus, Jesus. Listen, guys, the number one thing for tonight is just encountering God. Encountering God. He is your Father. He desires to have intimacy with you guys. Intimacy. Everyone say intimacy. Listen, guys, here, let me say one more thing. Abraham's intimacy with God produced blessings. Abraham's intimacy outside of the will of God produced pain and suffering. And that needs to be a lesson for all of us, that when we do things out of God's will, it produces something. It produces. If you've ever been in a relationship that wasn't God's will, how hard was it when you had to break up? It feels like you're ripping something apart inside of you, right? We're birthing things through our intimacy. Here's what Galatians 4 says. It says that before you found God, you were serving other gods who are not really gods. But now you know God, or rather, one of my favorite verses in the Bible right now. He said, now you know God, or rather, God knows you. You are known by God. And it says, why do you turn back to the beggarly things? Why do you turn back to the weak things? In other words, now that you have an encounter with God, you know his goodness, you know his salvation power, you know how much he loves you and how amazing he is, and he's called you to a purpose, he's given you destiny, he's given you value, he is everything you need, he is your exceedingly great reward. Why do you turn back to being approved by men? Why do you turn back to finding approval in your parents, or finding approval in your friends, or finding approval in that boyfriend or girlfriend, or trying to find approval by getting good grades? Why are you looking for your value out there? Listen, you're not going to find out who you are in a world that doesn't know who you are. So Paul is pleading with the Galatians. tribulations. Why do you guys turn back to those dumb things when... And in that same chapter, it says, you have an inheritance. You're an heir of the kingdom of God. Everything that God is and everything that God has and everything that God owns, you, it is your inheritance. So why, when you have access to all of those heavenly blessings, do you still complain about not having a job? Why, when you have access to all those heavenly blessings, why do you still talk bad to your parents when you have so much more in Christ? Is it making sense? Okay. I think I'm ready. Whatever's on your heart, man. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Come on, talk to your Father. Talk to your Father. Jesus, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Father. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I just want to squash something real quick. There's this fear. Some of you might have it, but the fact that I'm saying it, maybe one of you do have it. There's this fear that the Christian life is a boring life. There's this fear that I'm gonna be so lame and so weird now that I encounter God. There's this like false notions that becoming a Christian means like you're boring and like you're not interesting anymore. Let me tell you how stupid that is, okay? If I can say that, okay? Having an encounter with the one who created the stars, having an encounter with the one who created the planets, the one who designed the sunrise and the sunset, the one who made the oceans and made the land, who created the mountains, the author of creativity, he is not a boring God. He is not a boring God. Listen. Your life will become more interesting, more exciting. Jesus said it this way, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He didn't say, I didn't come here to bore you to death. I didn't come here to make you feel lame. I came here to give you purpose and destiny and to live a life worthy of your calling. Are we ready, sir?
Come on, just lift up your hands tonight.
Jesus, Jesus.
Can we just thank Jesus tonight?
Jesus.
When they sing, it's the most beautiful song. Isaac doesn't even know words, he just moves his mouth. But it's the most beautiful thing to witness. For many years, I didn't sing in church because I was embarrassed of what people thought. I would look at other worship leaders and say, wow, they have such a better voice than me. But God just shared and spoke to me when I was a young kid. He said, listen, who cares? Sing to me because it's the most beautiful sound I hear. And listen, just like Isaac and Andy sing, and it's the most beautiful song I've ever heard in my life. That's what God thinks of you singing tonight.
Daniel, come up. And stop. I hear God telling you right now that I've put and I'm continuing to put my words in your heart. So that when you speak, that's what comes out. God's saying that my words have power and authority behind them. And that just like people looked at Jesus and said, wow, this man has authority. He speaks with authority. There's something different about, it's not the words that he's saying, but there's something supernatural backing up those words. And I hear God saying that I'm putting your words, my words in your heart so that when you speak with authority. Amen. So that when you speak, I'll put it this way. Jesus did an amazing job of displaying the Father. So much that the disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, we want to know how to pray too, because we want a relationship with the Father. We see you praying to him. We want to pray to him too. We want the Father." Even Philip said, Jesus, "Show us the Father and it'll be enough. Show us the Father." And Jesus said this. He said, I love the scripture too. He says, "Guys, I am the expression of the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And then he says this, so good. He says, guys, he didn't say guys, but he said, "Guys, the Father dwells in me." That's what it means to be one. God the Father dwells in me. And so I hear God saying, "I'm putting my words in you. But really, John chapter 1, I'm putting myself in you. So that when you speak and when you talk, it's not Daniel that comes out, it is me that comes out. Because you live a life expressing your Father." Amen. I love you, dude. I love you. Everyone lift up your hands. Father, I thank you for every single person here, God. That we walk away with just this excitement and this awe to want to have an intimate encounter with our Father. Where that is our main goal, our number one goal. Our driving life is to experience the Father in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Fill us up, Father. Fill us up. You're so good to us. You are so good to us, Father. Fill us up, God. Come on, everyone say, "Fill me up, God." Come on, say, "Fill me up, God." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said, amen.